You know, for the Rajanim, they have a new edition, and they named it Emmanuel. Christopher Emmanuel. That's a good name right at this time. We are the saddle coming in, having to do with the Santa Rosa vision and some statements that Brother Branham made. And with the locks that go on the vault door that Brother Arthur secured today. He brought them today. He's fixing to put those locks on. He's already purchased them. And also having to do with the peace treaty, when they cry peace, sudden destruction. Also having to do with a little tract that we wrote quite a long time ago. The title of the tract was All Hope Is Gone. The Lord never suffered it to be published until we come back from South America, and it so beautifully fits in with the doors being locked and all hope being gone. On the front of it has an atomic explosion, a great mushroom coming up from the waters. And it's really fitting for the hour. Brother Branham made the statement, he saw America in a heap of ashes. Jimmy just warned Russia. And I'm sure that Russia's probably pondering the things that Jimmy said. And probably feels like, well, who is he to tell us what to do? We're just as big as he is. And I believe we had a little discussion the other night, and some of the brethren, I was talking, and I believe that, if I don't have it wrong, that Russia has missiles that will reach us within 15 minutes after they press the button. And I think we've got a minute on them, maybe 14 minutes. I believe it said that we can drop ours in their lap within 14 minutes, which gives us a minute on them. But should they decide to throw theirs first, I think it takes about 7 minutes to alert our men that are at the controls. And within that 7 minutes, their missiles will have traveled 7 minutes toward America. And by the time we throw ours will be running maybe 5 or 6 minutes late. But it should get there in time to let them know we didn't appreciate them blowing us off of the map. So it looks like everything is set up real good for the work that they're planning. Now, I'd like to read just a little bit from the book of Ezekiel. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. 17th chapter, the first verse. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle, and speak a parable unto the house of Israel, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long-winged, full of feathers, which had divers colors, came unto Lebanon, and took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of his young twigs and carried it into a land of traffic. He set it in a city of merchants. He took also of the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine and brought forth branches and shot forth sprigs. There was also another great eagle with great wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him and shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine, Say thou, thus saith the Lord God, shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof and cut off the fruit thereof that it wither? It shall wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power are many people to pluck it up by the roots thereof. Yea, behold, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither when the east wind toucheth it? It shall wither in the furrows where it grew. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem, and hath taken the king thereof and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon, and hath taken of the king's seed, and made a covenant with him, and hath taken an oath of him. He hath also taken the mighty of the land, that the kingdom might be based, that it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping of his covenant it might stand. But he rebelled against him in sending his ambassadors into Egypt, that they might give him horses and much people. Shall he prosper? Shall he escape that doeth such things? Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? As I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwelleth, that made him king, whose oath he despised, and whose covenant he brake, even with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. Neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company make for him in the war, by casting up mounts and building forts to cut off many persons, seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, when lo, he had given his hand and hath done all these things, he shall not escape. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised and my covenant that he hath broken, even it will I recompense upon his own head. And I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, and will plead with him there for his trespass, that he hath trespassed against me. And all his fugitives with all his band shall fall by the sword. They that remain shall be scattered toward all winds, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar, and will set it, I will crop off from the top of his young twig a tender one, and will plant it upon a high mountain and eminent. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs, and bear fruit, and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing, in the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell, and all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken it and have done it. You know, there's really a lot to be said in this. When the Lord blesses a tree, it brings forth. The limbs are loaded with fruit, and the boughs of the tree are adorned with goodliness. But when God frowns on a tree, it dries up from the root. You know, the parable that he gave here, he tells us that it was concerning the king of Babylon, and how that Babylon, the king of Babylon, had broken his covenant, and how that he would deal with the king of Babylon. And to Israel, that was a matter of one nation against another nation. But then the Bible tells us, as we look back, having read the New Testament and the instructions of the apostles, we are told by them that all of these things happen for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come, that all of these things were pointing to spiritual things and had spiritual significance. Therefore, when I think of this, I think of the great eagle that had the beautiful colored wings, and I think of a vineyard that one might plant for his own benefit. And as another parable was spoken to Israel, I think of it like this. that he said, I planted a vineyard. I'd done all that I could for my vineyard. And I worked my vineyard. And then he said, what more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done? I've done all that could be done to it. But when I looked, he said, it brought forth sour grapes. And here he says, when this vineyard had been planted, this great vine had been planted, he said, instead of yielding to the one that had planted it, he said that the limbs or branches went out toward someone else, and that it offered its fruit to someone that had not planted it. And God said here in his word, he was very angry because of it. Now, when I think about that, I think about people. You know, it is God that has created heaven and earth. It is God that has made mankind, and it is God that has planted the vineyard. You know, we use that old saying, the grapevine. You know, it's gone through the grapevine. God looks on people as a vine, isn't that right? Now, so then it is God that has planted the vine, but nevertheless, even though God has planted the vine, God waters the vine, God gives the vine life, yet the vine hath a tendency to want to yield itself to the devil and give all of the fruits to the lust of the flesh and to Satan, who hath done nothing for the vine. See, everything that we do, we want to do it for the lust of the flesh. Speaking, Paul said, I say, or me, to keep from saying you, and that is those that are without God or that won't serve God. So then all of our labors for the flesh, everything that we do, instead of really getting down to business with God and really yielding ourselves to the Lord and yielding our fruit up to God and giving praises to God and saying, Lord, all of the blessings that's come down upon me, I am so thankful. I give you praise and I give you honor. And Lord, all of my life belongs to thee. All that I do, I want to praise thee in it. All that I am, Lord, all that I've ever been, all that I shall ever be, Lord, I want to honor you with it and use it for your glory and use it for your kingdom. And Father, I don't want to be selfish with anything and use it for my own personal desire or my own personal ambition or my own personal way of life, or I don't want to use it for my relatives and friends and those that are out yonder in the world that I can frolic and fellowship with. But God, I want to give it all back to you and to your people and your way of life and what you would like to do to it, because I'm your vineyard. And everything in my life, all of the fruits of my life, all of the thoughts of my mind, all of the efforts of my body, every breath I breathe, every thought I think, everything I do, God, I wanted to pay tribute and honor unto you because you planted me. Father, I wouldn't be here if you had not created me. I wouldn't be living if you had not watered me with the waters of life. And Father, it's all because of you that I'm alive today and I'm breathing today and that I have existence today. And Father, I want to pay tribute unto you. I want to give praise and honor and glory unto you. I want all of my words, all of my thoughts, all of my way of life, all of my plans, every motive of my heart. God, I want it to be for something, for your cause and for your kingdom. And I want you to reap from this vine every day. Every day, I want you to reap from this vine. Every time there's somebody weary, every time there's somebody tired and worn, every time somebody needs a helping hand, send them over my way, Lord, and let them feed from this vine. Let me produce the fruits of the Spirit, and God, let them be energized from the life that's within this vine. Let me lift them up, and let me encourage them, and let me help them on their way. Oh, God, use me. If you want to plant another vineyard, break a little sprig off of me, Lord, and plant it over here, and let's expand for God. See, this is the way it ought to be. Instead of turning our talents toward the devil and want to be a rock and roll singer and want to be a Jezebel and want to run around and frolic and dress in clothes so tight and unseemingly and want to be in pool rooms and go here and frolic and go down to the beaches and everywhere but where God wants you to go. Want to make money and want to get gain and want to lay up money in the bank and want prestige and a big name and all of the things that pertain unto the world. See, that's the way you do it. You give everything to the devil. You give everything to the devil. All of your life. All you want. You want an education for your children. You don't want to give your children the gospel.
You could care less, as the world says. You don't care whether or not your child knows about Jesus or whether he serves God or whether he dresses godly. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't care if the girl wouldn't dress too godly and if the boy wouldn't dress too godly. You'd just kind of rather they wouldn't because it's a little bit too embarrassing to you. You know, it cuts you off from that old gaudy way of life, that old out unseemingly way of life, that old out of proportion way of life out there. It cuts you off from it. And you don't get the praises of those people that are all mixed up and crossed up out there in their doings. You don't get their praise, and they don't lift you up and say good things about you. And you don't get the flattery. So you'd rather that your boy or girl would dibble-dabble around in a little sports out there, a little something out there, you know, to where when you go by, they'll say, well, old brother so-and-so, he's not quite like those down yonder. Old sister so-and-so, she's not quite mixed up like that bunch. At least they've got a little sense about them, you know. And you know, a little leaven, leaven's a whole lump. Now, so then, loving the praise and honor of man more than the honor that cometh from God, we struggle and strive for the foolish things that are foolish in the sight of God that God hath rejected. Now, why do we do that? Because we are not aware of the fact that God hath planted us. We are not concerned that child should grow up to be like Jesus. We're not concerned that child should have a good understanding from God and love the Lord. I'd rather that my son, if he never did learn his ABCs, I'd rather he'd know about Jesus than to have the best college education that money can afford. That's right. If I had to choose between it, I'd rather he'd know God if he'd never even learned his ABCs. You say, but Brother Pike, he'd be ignorant. Let me tell you something. There's never been a man that ever knowed Christ Jesus that was ignorant. A lot of folks that don't know Christ are ignorant. You know, you get a lot of understanding up here and a lot of schooling, and you think you've got a good understanding when you really are ignorant. But when you get God, you're not ignorant. The Bible teaches that everyone that is born of God is of a good understanding. Everyone. Look at the wilderness. Look at the time that they spent there. No schools, no colleges. But yet their senators, their statesmen, the commonwealth, everything they had was so supreme and so superb. God took care of them. See, God's way of life. Look at the Jewish people, how peaceful they were, how good they got along. As long as they taught their children about God and their own common down-to-earth way of life. But look at the mixed-up mess of hippies and drunkards and whoremongers and idolaters and everything that we've got today. Look at them today since we started what we call the education system to give our people a better understanding. You understand what I'm saying? What is it? You'd rather that child would get mixed up in the things of the world and go to some school or go to some college rather than getting an understanding of God and being a holy person and being brought up in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something wrong with you. That's the world out there. I don't understand the world doing that, but not you doing that. Now, I want our children here at Bethlehem, I want them to have a good understanding. And whatever there is in the natural that they should know about, I want them to know about it. Jesus made a tree. Jesus made the creeks. Jesus made the ocean. Jesus made the birds. Jesus made the stars. God wants them to know about all of those things because God made them. And he made Adam the ruler over the trees in the garden. But God didn't tell them to leave everything godly to go out there and find out something about a banana tree. He didn't tell people to go out here and major in studying June bugs all of their life and forget about serving God. God don't want anything like that. God wants us to serve Him. Major in understanding in God. And the Bible said if we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, all of these other things will be added unto us. But you go after the world and you don't get anything. Not anything. More and more and more. I'm seeing educated men put down and become drunkards and thrown aside, and people that don't have any understanding as far as schooling being brought up and put in the power and preeminence of leadership. I'm seeing it more and more everywhere I go. Why? Because those that follow after God is going to be blessed. The Bible said God lifts up one and God puts down another. Kings rule because God makes them rule. Isn't that right? What is the report that we get now? Look at the thing that's happening to television. I wish you could get some of the latest reports how that God's people. Now God's people, these non-denominational programs and all of these religious programs that don't have any intellectual backing to them are taking over the entire television stations. And some of them are buying the stations. They're taking over. Look at Reader's Digest that stated that whether it was coincidental or whatever, they couldn't say, but that preachers' children were becoming the leaders of the world. In spite of all, he said, it's happening. Why is that? See, God lifts up one, God puts down another. When God got ready to put Ruth up in the place of the kingdom, he just got rid of the queen. Isn't that right? And if God had wanted to got rid of the king, he'd have got rid of the king too. On numbers of occasions, you go back and check it many times, and God got rid of the king and put another king in. Because he didn't like the way they was running it. And if God wants to get rid of Jimmy Carter, he'll put somebody else in. And if God wants to get rid of the queen over yonder of England or wherever it's at, he'll put somebody else in. Is that right? God is the one that does what he wants to do. Why shouldn't we then tell people about God? Why shouldn't we say we're God's vineyard? We're not going to look in another direction. God planted me. I'm not going to yield my fruit to some sour vine. I'm not going to some sour fruit to some sour-minded person. I'm not going to yield my ability to Satan. I'm not going to yield my talents to some warped up educational system out here or some foolish people. I'm not looking for a man-made degree that he's going to give me out there. What do I care about that? Somebody writes out a little piece of paper and they spend hours and hours and hours writing it out, and they get some fellow that they've called a doctor and he puts his name on it. And they say, we want you because we call you a doctor, you put your name on it. And all of them puts a name on it, and they say, this precious document, we give it to you. What is it? It's something we wrote. Well, what is that? I don't know, but you can have it. We decided you're one of us. But now, what does it amount to? See, what does it amount to? Oh, they say, well, it's got a seal on it. Well, what is that? You can make them by the dozens. Get one made most anywhere you want to now. Plenty of them. What does that mean? That don't mean nothing. See, you walk up, I hand you a little piece of paper. You come up here and I say, you are now a doctor. You turn away and say, I thank you, Brother Pike. You start off, you drop dead. You say, you're now a dead man. A dead doctor. You understand what I'm saying? We're not playing a game. We're dealing with God. God is the one that's running the thing. Amen. I can see men honoring men if they're doing something worthwhile. If men are in positions to where they are actually helping the poor and helping the needy, and to where there are governmental powers that's ruling over people and trying to bring in a government that will help people to honor God and to have a better system and a better understanding of life. And to be healthy and happy, I can understand people honoring people like that. But this bunch of junk they got going on, just passing them from one college to another college, and a bunch of dope addicts and beatniks and perverts and all of this kind of things, and just a bunch of, it's just nothing. It's just nothing to it. That's all it is to it. Back years ago when they came over and from the old country and the forefathers, they got in here and they labored and they worked and they put their efforts together and their money together and their talents together, and they worked for a people and they enslaved themselves to the duties of mankind to try to erect something so little children could have bread and we could have a democracy and something that would help us through life. That was worthwhile. That was worthwhile. Those were statesmen, great men. But this bunch of junk we got now, and these people in the White House now that's not interested in anybody, anything, but to fuss and to fight and to feud and get more money and to get popularity and fame. And then when they get it, they don't know what they want with it because they don't know what to do with it. What good is fame? What good is money? What good is power? You get all of that and it's no good to you. If you don't have enough sense to use it, it's no good to you. A man that don't know how to drive an automobile, he don't need an automobile. A man that don't know how to handle a gun, he don't need a gun. A man that can't ride a motorcycle, he don't need a motorcycle. Those men, many of them that's in the White House, they don't need to be up there. Look at Kennedy now. There is Senator Kennedy, is it? Fighting the president. What are they fighting about? They don't agree. Well, how in the world do they ever expect us to agree? If the citizens don't agree with the president, how do they expect the people to agree with them? Why don't they get their differences settled? What's the matter with them? They can't even decide what they want. How in the world can they tell us what we need? If they don't know what's best for each other, they sure don't know what's best for us. I think what we need to do is come to God's Word and let every man decide what God wants for his life. The Bible said, let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. Somebody said, well, that ain't got nothing to do with the government. The kind of salvation I'm talking about has to do with the government. The Bible said the government be upon his shoulders. What we need to do is let God get a hold of our lives and God work out our problems. And God set us up a government that we can abide by, something we can understand, folks. You know something? You take a constitution, you take a law, you take the kind of governments we got today, and one day they're like this, and the next day they're different, and they add, and they take away, and they're always making amendments. You don't ever know what the Constitution is. You don't ever know what your rights are anymore. They read you the constitutional rights. You say, that's my rights. They say, well, it was 50 years ago. But you say, it's still the same thing. It's printed on the paper. But they say, you haven't read the other 50 books of amendments that they've made in the last few years. Like they sent us a book out here. We got it in there in Mitch's room. It'll take a Philadelphia lawyer to understand the words that's in it. And then he'd probably have to go to school some more. They got one word in there, I believe, either 14 or 24 letters long. Got about 24 characters in one word in there. And I'm positive it's something they've constituted out of their brainstorm. And they've got page after page after page after page. And they send it out here to a bunch of common folks that's just trying to eat and drink and stay alive. And they say, before you can drink, you got to understand this and you got to do what it says. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, we ain't concerned about them things. Them things don't concern us. Why you tell us about all them things? Beloved friend, because you are caught in the midst of them things. They want you to do what they say do. The book's laying in there now. You got to do it before you can drink, before you can live out here, before you can have your place, before you can have your own little trailer. How do you understand what I'm saying? See, somebody said, well, I don't care about that up there. I don't either if they keep it up there. But when they bring it to Bethlehem, it's my concern. Now then, you are a community. Now then, you have more than 20 families. Now then, you must abide by our regulations. Why do I have to abide by the regulations? I didn't ask for the regulations. I didn't buy them. I didn't give. I didn't contribute to them. I had no desire for them. Why do I have to abide by them? You understand what I'm saying? You say, Brother Pike, you mean you're not going to abide by them? I'm going to abide by them because Jesus said, go ahead and do it. But why do I have to do it? It ain't God's plan for me to do it. You understand what I'm saying? Now, so then it is a terrible hour. All hope is gone. Everything is at an end. It's like somebody writing a letter to... It's like a Philadelphia lawyer writing a letter to a mother that's never done nothing but pick cotton. When she pick it up and read it, all she could do is just look at it and write back and say, I got your letter, son. That's all she could do, because she wouldn't know what he was talking about. See, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to understand it? How are you going to cope with it? This is where we're at. This is the problems that we've got. Over in Jamaica, paying $3.50 or 70 cents, $3.70, whatever it is, for a gallon of gasoline. And they ain't satisfied with that. They're going up to $5 a gallon. Why do they do that? Because the government wants their cut out of it. But does the gasoline belong to the government or does it belong to God? Do I belong to God and the gasoline belongs to me, or does it belong to the government and I belong to the government? Who do I belong to? Did God make me or did the government make me? Is the government keeping me alive or is God keeping me alive? God planted this vineyard. Am I to do everything I do to the government? Am I a slave to the government? Am I a slave to the people? Am I a slave to every person that wants to get in office in Monroe and Atlanta, Georgia and every other place around the nation? You get on an airplane, you go to catch an airplane, and they go through your suitcases and they run you through like a bunch of hogs. No, that ain't good enough. I tell you right now, hogs is treated better than that. I never had any hogs ever treated like that. Hogs and cows that we had, we treated them a whole lot better than that. We even treated our dogs better than that. See, what is it? God planted a vineyard, but what have they done? They are yielding themselves, all of their talents, all of their abilities, everything that they are, they're yielding them up to the world. Somebody say, well, Brother Pike, we can't do nothing about it. Daniel done something about it. Amen. The Hebrew children done something about it. We can do something about it. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I believe this and I stand for this, and God help me to stand for it as long as I got bread. As long as I can abide in the righteousness of God and obey the law and obey the government and do what they tell me to do and not violate God's laws and injure God's people, I want to do it. But today I got to violate God's laws and injure God's people. They can have their government, they can have their laws and do what they want to with them. I don't plan to abide by any of it. I say that publicly to you and anybody that might hear the tape on the radio or anywhere else. God made me. God planted this vineyard. I belong to God, not the government, not the law, not the people. And I intend to yield my fruits as unto God. So then that's where we're at. All hope is gone. What is God fixing to do? He's fixing to blow the whole thing up. When we get to where we are a vineyard that yields all of our talents, all of our abilities, all of our fruits, everything that we are, when we get to where we're just a sour tree, when we get to where we're just an ugly spring and everything that comes out of us is nothing but filthy water, always yielding up to the powers of sin and the powers of the devil, everything going back to the world and doing nothing for God, then God's going to get upset. Did you know that? That's why the Lord turned Egypt into an ash heap. He turned it into a garbage dump and made it stink. And one day he's going to turn America into a garbage dump and make her stink. Why? Because Egypt couldn't be satisfied. God had blessed them with everything, but they wanted to harness God's people, pressure God's people, make God's people do something, always demanding of the people, putting the people under a bondage all the time. It's the same old grind. Somebody said, well, it ain't bothering me. That's because you're in the hog pen with them. I ain't going to bother you. You're out there slopping around with them. But you get out of the hog pen and start for home and see if they don't get on your trail. You try to live right as long as you're out there with them. You're giving them a little bit on the side. Like I read in the paper. Where was it today? I read in the paper. They pull up to a gas station somewhere and they had a certain price out in California or something on the gas. And some fellow rolled up and said, how about filling mine up and I'll slip you a 50. Said he slipped him a 50. He filled it up. That broke the gas rationing. So See, as long as you do them kind of things and you work with them, it's all right. See, that's the way it is. But folks, let me tell you something. You're going to find out. If you stand for something, you're going to run into the devil. But if you're just a little old weak-kneed, wishy-washy, nothing, just everybody can push you anyway, say anything they want to, get you to do anything, pull your mind into the garbage pail and just do anything that they want you to do, they ain't never going to bother you. Because the world loves its own. Satan is the prince of the powers of this world. Stand up for God. Get a backbone and stand for the Lord. And have a backbone and say something back to him and say something against him and do something about the things that's going on. Now don't do anything foolish. Don't run up here and defy the law just to stand up against the law. That's foolish. Don't defy the government. But when it comes to standing for God, you better get a backbone. This thing has done come down to the closing of the door. Them locks that Brother Arthur got today to our little group here, they understand something about that. There's something that's taking place. All hope is gone as far as the world's concerned. Everything is gone. The senator's fighting the president, and the president's fighting the senator. I believe the senator made the statement, said, I'm fighting the president. I don't agree with him, but I'm going to vote for him. Or work with him to get back in office. That don't make sense to me. If I didn't agree with him, I'd work to get him out of office. If I don't agree with somebody, I don't want him in office. Everything is for them. Nothing is for us. Nothing is for you. Or you say, Brother Pike, they're making them good laws out there for us, and they're making all them things for our benefit. They ain't making one thing for you. Not one thing for you. They hate your very presence. And the Bible said the time will come that they will kill you and think they do God a service. That you will be hated of all men for my name's sake. All men. Don't ever get into a state of complacency. In a condition of rest to think that you've won favor with the world and everything's going to be all right. Because it isn't going to be all right. Always be aware that you're in a war. And there's a warfare going on. And you stand at your post of duty. Don't ever get lax. Stand there waiting every minute. Always expecting the best and be prepared for the worst. Always. Now, I know that we have peace at Little Bethlehem. I'm thankful because we got a lot out from among us that's caused us a lot of problems. I know that. But let me tell you something, folks. When you settle down, that can be one of the most detrimental things that ever happened to you. When everything's settled down and you get quiet, that can be a whole lot worse than when you had all your problems among you. Because as long as you got troubles, as long as you got problems, you're going to be alert. But when you settle down and you say, everything's all right, the devil, he'll make havoc out of you, sure enough then. Let's be clean. Let's not be evil. Let's be clean. Let's keep our mind on God. Let's keep our mind holy. Let's keep our mind pure. Like tonight, when I come in here, I felt all kind of spirits, all kind of things going on here. Let's get out of that. Let's get in one mind and one accord. Now, I know you can get in one mind, you know, and that is everybody getting their own mind. But I'm talking about one mind, the mind of Christ, in a unified effort to do something for God. And you ladies, work with your husband. We got a request today. Brother Larry Pruitt, some of you perhaps know him. He's a young minister that we met coming out of Haiti's and met him there in Miami, Florida. He came over the other day and I really felt like that Larry was supposed to move on into this. I feel that God has warned him and God has dealt with him. And I felt that God has given the understanding he should move on into it. I believe that God's even revealed that he should be baptized in Jesus' name. But he hasn't done it. I was talking to him the other day, and I was trying to get to him the other day. But he went back home, and he sent us word, said that he really needed prayer. He believed he was a man of God, and he needed prayer, because I think his wife had somehow the hot scalding grease or something that she had boiling something, and it went over on her and burned her bad, and they had to rush her to the hospital, and troubles and problems. A good boy needs help, needs prayer. This is a moving up time. Did you know that? This is the time to move up, folks. God planted himself a vineyard, and he said he doesn't like it because every time he looks down at the vineyard, All of the fruit's going out to somebody else, and it's yielding its fruit to somebody else, and it's not giving any fruit to God whatsoever. We're in bondage to Egypt. We're in bondage to the flesh. We're in bondage, Achunda, always working, working, making a dollar for the world, making a dollar for the belly, always doing something for the flesh. But what we need to do is do something for God. Now I see feeding your family. I see taking care of your little ones. I see doing all that you can to make them comfortable. I see that. I believe in that. I believe in trying to see that they don't grow up to be ignorant. I think they ought to have some understanding. I believe that. But I don't see fellowshipping with the sinners and with the devils one bit. The Bible said the temples of God have no fellowship with the temples of Belial. It didn't say that they have a little fellowship. It says they have no fellowship with them. And the children of light have no fellowship with the children of darkness. Not any fellowship with them. Now, somebody said, well, Jesus sat down and eat with the sinners of the publicans. He certainly did. He eat with them. He reproved them. He preached to them and got up and left them. That's what you need to do. Evil communication corrupt good manners. You compromise a little bit here and compromise a little bit there. And after a while, you're in trouble. We had a young fellow that left. He come in to my house yesterday morning. He's left. He's gone back to where he come from. I told him as plain as I could speak over and over. I said, you need to get right with God. You're your wife. You need to get right with God. You're finding fault with everything when the fault's in you. And I said, you need to get right with God. But he didn't listen. Now he's back where he was. After he moved back where he was, he come back and sat in my house and said he cried like a baby because he had moved back where he was. Now he's not satisfied that he moved back where he was. So he sat and cried. A double-minded condition. A man that's double-minded is unstable in all of his ways. See, I keep telling you that if you do wrong, God's going to move you off. God's going to prepare your heart to move off. After a while, you're going to get that idea to leave, and you're going to move off. You're going to find fault and move off because God's going to move you off. Don't do that. Don't do that. Get in here and be part of us and do something. Work with us. Labor with us. And don't be deceitful. And don't yield your fruits to somebody else. God made you. God planted you. Be holy, be clean, be pure. Don't let that mind be yielding thoughts to the devil all the time through gossip, backbiting, and fault-finding, having people over at your house that you know ought not to be there, and you talking to them and going around and around with them and all this lust of the flesh. God will move you from here, and God will put you in the ground out there somewhere. God will take you out of this world. All right, all hope is gone. Jesus is the only one that you got. That's all. Jesus. If you fail to get a hold of Jesus, then you're lost. You're gone, folks. You're gone. I want you to stand with me. The Bible said in the last days, men would despise government, be despisers of government. I wondered many times what that meant. But I never realized that the government would become so rotten until men would literally despise the government. Men years ago didn't despise the government. Hundreds and thousands of young men praised their government, praised their country, and went into the foreign fields. Many of them died on the foreign fields, gave their life for their government and their people. But they don't want to do that now. They don't care about doing that now. They'll tell you they don't care about doing it. Some of them that was wounded and shot up in the war, they'll tell you that they're sorry of it. They had to go over, they wouldn't do it. Now, but men used to courageously die for a good cause. Men still dare to die. It was something godly. It was a standard. It was holiness. It was decency. Motherhood, daddies, children, little ones. Today, it's horrible. It's just the one big horrible nightmare. Men are despisers of government. I know that some men are despisers of government because they don't want leadership in the ranks of the church. I know that they despise government. I know some government is corrupt in the church. But some of them just don't want to follow leadership. But I can understand some of them despising government. Some of the government is just rotten. It's just rotten. And men just can't go along with it. All right. We're going to let you go if you don't get in a hurry.
You love Jesus. Let's sing a little chorus together. I never feel bad at people that leave the services. I don't think they do the right thing, but I don't feel bad at them because that's their privilege. But I don't feel good at people that push and hurry God's work. Don't be foolish. If you're in a hurry, you go. But don't try to make God hurry, because He's got things He wants to do. It's like being down in my house, you know, or me being over your house. I come over to your house and you want to take all night doing whatever you're doing. No need for me to hurry you. All I can do is get up and leave, because that's your house. So if you don't take all night, that's your business. If I don't want to listen to it, I just get up and leave. See, that's my business. But what grinds at the devil is the thing is that he can't run my business and run his business too and run God's business. That's what grinds at him. In other words, he wants to come in here and run God's business and make us do God's business on his watch schedule and on his time schedule and on his old carnal mind schedule and still do what he wants to do over at his place. But we ain't going to do it. We ain't going to do it. You might as well get used to it. You've been here all these years and I ain't done it. We ain't going to do it. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? I have a great admiration for government that is not corrupt. I think it's the grandest thing in the world aside from the Lord Jesus, which I think is the grandest. Government is one of the finest things there is. It helps keep down confusion, ordinances, leadership, great statesmen. But I despise corrupt government. I think it's the low-downest thing in the world. It's somebody to take and put a constraint over people for their own evil Nicolaitan means. And God feels the same way. Whereas He said, don't take the constraint over my people for filthy lucre's sake or to be Lord over God's heritage, but rather as an example unto the flock. It's a whole lot better for somebody to show you what to do than it is to tell you what to do. Did you know that? If there's a Christian life to be lived, somebody ought to be living it so that you can see it rather than be telling you. Did you know that? That's one thing wrong with little Bethlehem. I have so many people coming out here, in and out, and they'll say, well, I'll tell you what you folks ought to do out here. But what I'd like to do is see them come out here and stay a while and show me what we ought to do out here. Amen. That's what I'd like to see. Let's sing a little chorus together. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of mine heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Sing it again. Oh, at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of mine heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Rolled away. Rolled away. All my burdens rolled away. Rolled away. Rolled away. Rolled away. All my burdens rolled away. Rolled away. You know, I believe that we are what you call true Americans. That's what I believe. I believe that we are what you call true Americans. The reason I believe that is because when our forefathers came over from the old country, they came here as Christian pilgrims to establish a godly democracy and a way of worship that would please God and put on their money in God We Trust. That was the true Americans. I believe that we are the true patriotic Americans. That's what I believe. That we are given to the cause of virtues and holiness. You know, you don't have to get in with the evil, surmising, undermining, warped, crooked deals that they're pulling today to be an American. Did you know that's an evil, undermining thing? Somebody say, well, you're not being patriotic. You don't get into the hog pen with us anymore. I don't read where any true American ever got into the hog pen with them. They didn't come to America to set up a hog pen. You don't have to get into the schools, into the mush and mess of their evil teachings, and into their sports. I tell you, real true Christians are real true Americans. Because the real true patriotic people are the ones that started America. And you know, it's hard for you to conceive. I know it's hard for you to conceive this thought, but this little Bethlehem is the beginning of that which they started. That democracy has fallen out there. That corruption has balled up, and they're in the midst of it. But God, according to Washington's vision, what he saw, God has preserved the democracy. And he's bringing it back up. And it's going to stand forever and forever and forever and forever. That's why I feel like I do, and that's why I talk like I do, is because I know what I do. Let's sing another chorus together, can we? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. You know, when the first Americans came over and they set up their little government, the people from the old country, they sent over and told them that they wanted them to pay taxes and told them what all they had to do. But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. They had their own government. They didn't do it. Isn't that right? All of the things they got today, that wasn't the government then. The government then gave freedom and liberty and justice for all. People had little homes and they were happy. Many years ago, they had little homes and they were happy. But this wilderness that they've gotten into now, it's not God's plan, it's Satan's. They've left God's way of life and they've gotten into Satan's vice and into his grip. And that's where their problem is. But God is starting him another nation. He's starting him another nation. And I'm glad. He said, I've got a peculiar people. This is a peculiar people. We're God's nation of people. And I praise God for it. I want to render unto Caesar that which is due unto Caesar. But someday God will bring Caesar into judgment for taxing strangers, because we're pilgrims and strangers. And we are seeking a country whose builder and maker is God. Brother Roger will bring the baby on up. We'll dedicate the baby. You know, even little Christopher Emmanuel, the black man, you know, has to do with the Jews. And the baby being born at this time is really significant. Roger's really been through an ordeal. He's been burned almost to death. And his life follows a Pacific aura. As a matter of fact, in July, just about the time of our camp meeting, they're supposed to have the last phase of that court session, which will, of course, either be a great financial benefit to Roger, I can't say, or either a great disappointment, because he's willing to accept it either way. It don't matter to him. But he's left it in the hands of God. But it's really significant, and us coming back into things is happening the way it is. Folks, if you've never got into the ark of God, and you've never got right with God, and you've never got into a unity with your pastor and with your brothers and sisters, for the Lord's sake, get in. Don't be foolish. You know, I've got some people here that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know after all of this time, that unless something happens that I have not seen, they're going to go through the tribulation period. I know that they are. And it's going to be so sad. So you're going to look, you know, and you're going to say, my God, why didn't I listen to Brother Pike? Why did I have to have my own way and my own thinking and do my own thing and push and tug and find fault and always resent and sit in the midst of the congregation always night after night, and I just couldn't make my old self swallow down and get down and humble my heart? You're going to be so sorry. You've got a stone to fall on now to be broken. Submitting yourself one to another, but you just got to be Mr. Prestige. You just got to be the man or the woman of the hour that's going to have their way and not give in to God. But you're going to be sorry. I keep telling you, that's all I can do. Praise God. I want to pray. I want you to lift your hands with me. We'll let Roger hold the baby here. And we're going to lay our hands over it. I'm going to start letting everybody hold their baby when they bring it up. And Lord, especially inspire me. I'll do otherwise. But exchanging arms with them up here, we're liable to drop them. Sometimes it bothers me. And I want you to lift your hands up. Can you come over here, Roger, you and your wife, please? That's it. Stand right there. Now, this looks like a very fine little fella here. You know, it's a wonderful thing for God to give you a little child. There's nothing so precious. Brother Ted and them just had a new addition to their home, and they almost lost their little one, had a breathing condition. We've been praying. As far as I know, it's all right now, Ted, is it? You know, the devil is always fighting our children. As a matter of fact, right now, Satan is fighting our little Joseph. It looks like that he's got the measles. I don't know what it is. But you pray for him. You pray for Ted's little baby. I'm sure they'll be dedicating it before long. But let's pray for it. And let's pray for Roger's little baby here. Pray that God will bless it. And pray that God will do something special for it. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord, as we pray for this darling little child, knowing that children are the gift of God, Holy Father of Heaven, we lay our hands upon it, believing and understanding that there is a great significance in this little child. Oh, Ramandramashita Ramandrianta Rubushaya. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus, Holy Father, we ask you to bless this little child. Father, they give it unto thee, O Lord God, in that you've given it unto them. And Lord, we ask you to dedicate it, Lord, to your cause. Father, bless it while it's little. Bless it as it grows. Help them to raise it up in the nutrient admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ.